What's good, y'all? You guys know who it is. Ringside Rave. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, and let's get into this podcast.
Man, what's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 12 of the Fade Hour. I'm your host, Maul. Go by the name of Bruising Boxing. And myself, I'm joined tonight by my man, P. I got Pat, Smoke, and News. Right now, I'm just drinking a Dogfish Head 120, rumored to be about 20% alcohol, so it's going to catch up to me rather quickly, man. And yeah, I'm going ahead and kick it around the room, starting with my man P, and then we're going to go ahead with News, Smoke, and Pat and get into it tonight.
What up, bro? This is your boy P, ripping Bodega Boxing, Ringside Raid, and right now I'm sipping on the sugar-free Coca-Cola.
We gotta send you some edibles or something.
That's silly. Hey y'all, what up world? It's your boy News, representing that Ringside Rave all day. Y'all know what it is with me, man. Today I got a extra special pair of my favorites. Got a little bit of gelato left, but I got the orange cookie, but I actually got the original Girl Scout cookie. So I'm ready to turn. I'm already turned up. Actually, I'm a little turned down. So I'm relaxed, but I'm going to turn up because y'all already know what I do with it.
Hey, what up? It's your boy Smoke, repping that Ringside Rave, Free Smoke Boxing, coming to you from Colorado, which means that I have some Death Band in my pipe. And Juicy Banger 26, which comes in at 8.6%.
Yeah, what's good, Joe? It's Pat Scorpio, the New England representer. And I got my, I think it's pronounced Cabernet. I get a lot of wines from, you know, from my past companies. I don't drink them shits as, you know, frequently as I should. But I figure I might as well pop open a new bottle to keep them a little for another time. You know what I'm saying?
Got you, man. Hell, let's get into it, cause man, we got definitely a full plate tonight. First of all, congratulations to Daniel Jacobs being crowned the new IBF champ at 160. Yeah, tonight, yeah, we definitely got to talk about the WBSSS, you know, coming up this Saturday. Definitely going to touch on the announcement of the Wilder Fury on the card coming into fruition. The rumored Sean Porter and Ugas being in a co-main event of Spence and Garcia. And you know we definitely going to touch on the Spence and Garcia. But first, man, want to get P's opinion on it. We had some interesting development today with Mikey Garcia giving up his IBF title at 135 and obviously paving the way to the pay-per-view fight with Spence and rumored to be in February. And yeah, just, you know, P, you want to give us your thoughts on that, and also what holds next for Comey? What would you like to see him do next now that, you know, he may be fighting for the title or giving the title, however that'll play out in the upcoming weeks and months?
Well, first off, with Mikey Garcia going over to now welterweight, it's not a surprise that he gave up his lightweight belt. He's not staying there, so he might as well just give up the belt, get accustomed to it, just get it, go on. Now, with Comey, I want to see him in the title mix. I want to see him against East. I want to see him in another fight against East. And he's still, I still look at Comey as one of the big names at 135, one of the top guys at 135. I'm still a big fan of his skill. So I want to see him mix it up with all the top guys. So, yeah.
Definitely. And what about you, Smoke? You know, Garcia is your man, the head of your stable. How you feel about this news of everything that kind of, you know, came out today?
So what Mal is referencing is the Smoke Squad. And right now, Mikey is the head of the Smoke Squad, even though badass Tim Bradley will forever be the head. He's retired. I'm not a fan of it. I wanted Mikey to stay at 135 and do his Mando with Comey, knock him out, show the world the power that he has at 135, and then fight Lomachenko next year. And likewise, I think he would end that fight in a knockout. Now he's going up to 147, and he's getting into a fight where he has a much greater chance of losing than winning. So, as a fan, I'm happy that he's got the gravitas to do it. But at the same time, I don't think it's what's best for him. It's like one of those fantasy fights. If, you know, if Mikey was bigger, no homo.
All right, guys, let's be mature about this.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, go ahead and news, drop your thoughts too on this, bruh.
It was just funny how Smoke left it on a pause, like a
right,
literally.
But that's it.
So, hey, Mikey Garcia, he got the IBF lightweight championship, taking the O and the belt away from my boy Robert Easter. So the thing with Mikey is, I don't have a problem with him vacating the IBF because he still has the WBC. You know what I mean? Lightweight belt. He doesn't really want to fight Richard Commey when he has the opportunity to go get the major payday to fight Errol Spence right now. So I can see that being a business decision. The only thing I wonder about Mikey Garcia, I'm sorry. The only thing I'm wondering about is Richard Commey. Like, I would like to see him. I would like to see him fight somebody like Robert Easter, who had the belt and who beat him for the belt, to fight him for the rights of who's the real IBF champion rather than the opponent that they gave him.
Yeah, definitely. What about you, Pat?
Now, in terms of what Mikey did about giving up his belt, it's a big risk. There's no question about that. I mean, personally, I would have liked to see Mikey versus Comey. You know, would have been interesting, and then, of course, you know, stay there and try to unify 135. But yeah, it's like, you know, they say it's a business decision. However, I think it's a business decision that could possibly cost him something a little bit more. You know, because he's fighting a bigger guy who's not even, he's probably not even a natural welterweight. You know, so it's like, you know, yeah, you may get a payday. And Mikey, although Mikey is a skilled guy, I mean, everyone knows there's weight divisions for a reason. And only a few people can actually go through these divisions, you know, and, you know, can actually throw their weight around. And with Mikey, we saw him hitting, I wouldn't say hitting a ceiling, but you could tell that in his fight with Lipinets that he was close, he was approaching hitting that ceiling regarding, like, the type of divisions that he'd probably be completely effective in. So it's just, I mean, hey, more power to him, but, you know, like I said, it could possibly, I mean, I'm not going to say it's a GGG Cole Brook situation, but, you know, it could end up that way. Now with Kameh, he's going to face, I mean, he's going to face a Russian who's ranked number 3 for the vacant IBF belt, and that's how they're going to go. And Kameh is going to knock him out, and he's going to be champion. And then, you know, keeps him moving. That's pretty much what it's going to be. Easter is like ranked 6th or 7th right now. It will be a while before he gets another shot at that belt.
But definitely at 135, that leaves the belt for Kameh there and also some champions there at 135. You know, do y'all think he should look to rematch Easter or see how this Loma thing play out, or, you know, the Loma Pedraza fight play out or stuff like that? Because like we said, there's a lot of contenders across the board at 135. And right, after he, you know, fight this Russian cat, we all presume that he's going to win. I mean, you never know, but we're under the assumption that he is. So what kind of his next move there?
If I'm Comey and I win that fight, I'm not doing essentially a bum tour, but I'm keeping my belt for a year or so. And then I'd step to real competition and real money and probably just lose it to Loma.
Lose it to Loma. Yeah, I mean, of course, he definitely loses to Loma.
I mean, Comey got heavy hands.
He do.
And a damn good chin, too.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people at 135. With Comey with there the title. Are. You know what I mean? You got
Luke Campbell.
Fortuna is still always lounging around there. You got my boy Devin Haney always on the rise.
There's also Linares and even old ass Ray Beltran. I mean,
and Bartholomew. Bartholomew, you know what I mean? Rancid, like, those are good fights for Richard Commey as a champ. That's what we talk. You know, he's not going to get Ava. We're not talking him, the Lomas and Mikey Garcias yet. We're just talking about people that he can fight
to build a resume, like you were saying.
Yeah, right. To build that name up and get a nice title run in. And then I like to see him definitely versus Robert Easter, like y'all said. They definitely should run that back. But I don't think he will.
Run that back.
Because he got the belt now. And Easter didn't run it back with him.
Yeah. And that was a fight I wouldn't have been mad if they immediately ran it back. They actually deserved to be immediately.
They should have. Yeah. But Easter brings cash. So I wouldn't be surprised after like $400,000 fights, Comey gets like a $750,000 fight if he still has the belt to fight Robert Easter.
My man talking money with it already when he talk about the fight.
I mean, you can see him bags.
Huh? Hey, those bags go far over there, man, where Richard Comey's from. So you know he's definitely gonna lose his belt. He's definitely gonna cash out with it. I can't, because he's done too much to get back in the position. You know what I mean? To fight for the championship. And I can respect that, because that was a very close loss to Robert Easter.
I thought he won that fight.
I was about to say, right, I know so, Pat was about to, Pat always going to the thought that he won it.
I mean, Mikey wasn't going to knock him out of the ring.
Yeah, Mikey just looked at risky. Think about that.
Well,
I don't know about all that now, though.
Yeah, I don't know what Mikey could do. Like I was saying about Mikey earlier today, you know, Mikey's a different breed at 135. We know his power is elite at 135. Now, it may not travel all the way up to 140, but Mikey is A-plus at 135. So, I don't know, Richard Comey, because he did get rocked by Robert Easter.
Yeah,
but he didn't leave his feet. That's what
he didn't. But Robert Easter ain't bringing them bombs like Mikey Garcia. We've seen that.
Wait, is Linares officially now at 140 now?
No, it's, I don't think he's at 140 yet officially.
Yeah, I thought he fought it. I thought he fought at one. Did he fight it? What was?
Yeah, he did fight at 140, but he said he'd go down if it was like for a Lomachenko fight or something like that.
I don't think. So he wouldn't go down for a co-man. Yeah,
basically. I could see him going down for a co-man.
I about to say that's a shot at a belt.
I could see that being on a Canelo card.
Because right now, I mean,
trying to get him another belt.
Yeah, because right now 140 is, you know, tied up in the various tournaments right. Going on.
Even so. Trying to get that AB fight.
Yeah.
That payday. So I could see him going back down to get a belt. Where Linares went years with a belt around his waist. I can definitely see him going back, you know, to try to get that belt back again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that for like what? 4 years? He had like almost a four-year reign or something.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
So damn, that's wild.
Yeah. So I can definitely see him going against Kamei to try to entice Loma back into the ring. Or Mikey Garcia or something, because I can see him trying to get that payday. He's at the end of his career, but you know, when that your athletic prime start to slip and then he cuts easy and stuff like that. I can see Linares going down there and trying to get one more big fight and then it's over. I definitely
right.
see.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, and you still got Luke Campbell, but I'm sure they're going to try to build back up and ease into a title fight too. So I'm telling you, that's an option for Comey too.
Yep.
So there's a lot of options out there at 135, and that's a damn good point to bring up. But yeah, man, on the flip side, in February, At some point in the near future, it should and will be announced that Mikey will fight Spence on pay-per-view, man. So with that being said, like, how do y'all general thoughts about it? Like, should it be a pay-per-view fight? Where it should be held at? You know, what does a win for Spence? What does it, you know what I'm saying? What does that do for him? Will he get credit for it? You know what I'm saying? What does it do for Mikey if he's able to pull off the upset?
I need to know, is this a rumor or is it official?
I mean,
Mikey and Earl.
It's not official. It's at that point where it's basically all but official. It's basically just a formality.
Right.
Okay, so they just have to sign the contract.
They just have to.
Yeah, the semantics probably being worked out at this point.
Yeah. Because if we're talking pay per view and all that, the fact that they're even discussing that and now they just got to figure out like a location and all that basically means about 70% done.
I'm gonna say this real quick before you start, Smoke. I could see that fight being held in Dallas, Texas. because Mikey Garcia, you know what I mean? It's a big Mexican population down there. Earl Spencer's from Texas. I can definitely see them fighting at Cowboy Stadium. Yep. Earl Spencer already fought at Cowboy Stadium.
So I was actually going to say that I think that fight will be held in Texas rather than California. I think it's going to be someplace where Canelo or Mikey have fought before, or someplace in between Dallas and, you know, basically the Mexican border. All that being said, with respect to the fight, it's a tough fight for Mikey. Hopefully, since, you know, basically 2 weeks after the Easter fight, he's been trying to put on muscle and add punching power, because he would need that. All that being said, I think he has a 35% chance to win. Errol Spence is a monster, but Mikey is also a monster with respects to boxing skills, and he doesn't punch like a bitch, I'm gonna say that. And if it's in Texas,
well, yeah, he's not Bradley.
So here's the thing, Timothy Bradley is one of my favorite fighters, former leader of the Smoke Squad. What up, badass Tim Bradley? Pat's just a hater. I don't know why, but he's a hater when it comes to that kind of stuff. Recalibrating what we're talking about, I would go to any place in Texas except for Dallas to see that fight, because the tickets in Dallas would be at least a grand.
Man, I'd go anywhere to see that fight, because Errol Spence is gonna put a beating on Mikey Garcia. Mikey Garcia is very good fighter, great fighter, top five skill for skill in the world, it seems. Technically, in the ring, I mean, that's how it looks every time he's in the ring. It's not going to matter. It's going to be a cat and mouse game at first for the first two, three, four rounds. But Mikey Garcia doesn't like body work.
Bruh, I was just sorry to cut you off. I was just about to say, where does Mikey look vulnerable at, and where does Spence do best at?
Right. It's like the completed puzzle. Mikey Garcia, like you say, he's skilled all this, but Mikey Garcia isn't a great mover either, which means he's going to have to really bang, because I've never really seen Mikey Garcia fighting off the back foot too much.
But he's going to fight off the back foot this fight.
Right, so I'm going to see him that way. He's already much smaller than Spence. I understand like his power, but I seen him tee off for 12 rounds on Adrian Broner, and not once was AB really rocked. So I can't imagine Spence, who came down from junior middleweight to welterweight, being fazed by Mikey Garcia's punches. So even then, so for me, it's just gonna be, this is gonna be just a fight for the, just like, just, I don't know, I like, I don't know how to describe it. It is gonna be like watching like a, like, I want to describe it like, I don't know, like, it's like, you know, you put like a little, you know, they put like a little mouse in a cage and it's a snake in there. That's what it's going to look like.
What's going to happen, but we still going to watch the intro.
It's going to look like the Spence Brook fight, except Mikey will extend.
Wait a minute.
No.
Really?
Wait a minute.
Not at all. It's gonna look like, it's gonna be like a business arrangement type of deal, like with GGG and Brooke, as in when when Brooke got his foot, his face broke, his trainer pulled him out ASAP before, you know, he got blinded.
Yeah.
And I feel Robert Garcia, because he did this before with Salido, like he made his business decision when Salido broke his nose with a headbutt.
No.
You know, and I think Robert Garcia, if Spence landing too much, he's gonna pull him out ASAP. I feel that's going to happen.
So Pat's not saying a stop chance.
Hey, I heard P was saying something.
Yeah, what are you saying, P?
When Pat said, "Oh, it was a business decision against Salido." No, just say he quit, please. No, don't use business decision. He quit without quitting.
Protected his investment.
Yeah, he quit.
I can see that. I can definitely see it. Like I said, it's nothing to get against Mikey Garcia, but when you take on a challenge like that, you have to expect that people are going to see it like that. Like, again, we're waiting for Spence to fight Crawford. And Crawford, that's what we're waiting for. Mikey Garcia is a great fighter again, but he's small, much smaller. And he just doesn't have. I don't know. I mean, nobody's saying that Mikey Garcia wins. But so we're not even talking about if Mikey Garcia wins. It's just that I can see, like what Pat said, I do agree. I can see the fight being stopped by Robert Garcia because he's going to, I mean, that's his brother. You're not going to watch your brother get punished by somebody that's way
too big.
Yo, so it's not.
I got a question. Oh, go ahead.
It's not insane to think that if Mikey fights a perfect fight, he could beat Spence. Okay.
What's perfect?
What's perfect is avoiding multiple heavy shots.
Okay? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, exactly, Pete. That's why I said perfect. But to think that it's some insane shit, no, it's not. We know that Spence doesn't move his head that often. We also know that Mikey has heavy hands. Does that translate to 147? I don't think so. Thank you, Mal. But when you get popped with that over and over and over again, AB has a granite chin. The only person who ever dropped him was Marcus Maidana, and that was because he didn't see the punches combined with the hardness of them. Pause, no homo. So to say that it's just out of the realm of possibility is where I don't jive with that. Dude.
I mean, I don't think anybody said that. Nobody said it's out the rim of possibility. All
here's the thing.
Nobody's picking him. That's it.
We just saw Brooke. We saw Spence last year. He was taking shots from big-ass Brooke and still was coming forward. That's why we're like, what the hell can Mikey do more than Brooke? You know what I'm saying?
Mind you, Brooke is not only bigger, he's also stronger as far as strength wise. I don't think Mikey is nearly as strong as Brooke. Just from a physical strength wise.
Well, word is,
there's a difference between power and physical strength. I think Mikey has pop. I think he has power, but I don't think he has that kind of physical strength and that can keep Spence off of him.
And add in, we've seen Mikey go above 135. Twice, and he landed as many punches as he wanted to. Never once did he put Adrian Broner or Sergio Lipinets on
the camp. Well, he didn't put Lipinets down.
I mean, I'm sorry, not on the camp, not about the point to knock him out. Like, I can't see him doing no. Basically, at the end of the day, I'm not trying to be nice about it. Mikey Garcia, your brother told you what it is. Robert Garcia, I can just quote Robert Garcia. For now on, as a matter of fact, when it comes to Mikey Garcia versus Spence, I'm going to just quote Robert Garcia. And Robert Garcia didn't want to do it. It's something Mikey sees. That's what he always says. Mikey sees it. His own brother, his own trainer, doesn't see it. Mikey sees it. So Mikey's going to have to show it. Until then, I'm not going to believe it until I see it. And that's why it's good that he's fighting the truth. Because Mikey Cazero Spence is going to bring the truth out of Mikey Garcia that night. And then he's not going to talk about.
It's funny because I agree with your sentiments 100%, and I think that people are going to be surprised. Now, like I said, it's a 35% chance that Mikey wins that fight. You guys think it's much lower, but I think a lot of people will be surprised.
I give him no chance to win the fight, bro. Like, none.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't pick Mikey Garcia.
I'm not saying you guys are crazy or anything like that. Like, I respect that opinion.
I just 12 rounds is a long ass time to be in that bitch with Spence, man. And
right, like, that's what I'm saying. It's a long time, man. Especially when you're when you don't like body work, and that's what Spence is coming to do. Like, we're talking about Spence taking hits to the head, true, but we've seen Spence take hits to the head for 12 rounds from bigger punchers. I mean, I'm not going to say bigger punch. I'm going to say from bigger guys and stronger guys. We've seen that. I've never seen Mikey Garcia take sustained body work for 12 rounds, but we're going to see if he can on the fight, because that's how Mikey stand. Mikey Spence is going to get in there and just knock him out, knock him down 7-8 times. And you know what I mean? We're just saying Spence is going to come in there and damage that boy's body. And we already know Mikey Garcia. We all know Mikey Garcia is soft around the gut. That's where Spence's trademark is, the body work. That's what's going to get Mikey out of there. He's not going to outbox Mikey. He's not going to do any of that. He's just going to come chop Mikey Garcia down. And then that's like, it's going to be a cat and mouse game in there. Mikey Garcia is going to be on the back foot. And that, it's going to be fun while it lasts, though. It's definitely going to be fun. It's going to be a fun event, definitely, though.
The issue is when we play all these hypotheticals of what good Mikey can do against Spence, the issue is we've never seen any of that at 147 because he's never been at 147.
That's true. That's
we can't have those good we can't have any of those good attributes and just say, oh, he'll bring it up to 147. If he was going to do this, he should have taken a fight or two at 147 before and get accustomated to it.
Right.
But because he didn't, now he's thrown to the fire, which is the deep water, before even testing them out. At least Crawford moved up to the division and is getting acclimated to 147. Mikey had no acclimation at all against the top guy.
Yep. I mean, you said it yourself. Mikey jumped into the deep ends with no what's it called? No floaties like Terrence Crawford did. Going to us.
Wait.
Jeff Horn.
And yeah.
Well, shit. Speaking of jumping into the deep end at 147, shit. Another guy I'd like to see Mikey mix it up with is going to be on the co-main event. This is all rumor. It's Sean Porter. And he's going to be going up against a guy who's been giving Ringside Rave a lot of love recently, Mr. U God, your Dennis Ugas or U Gods, but we call him U God around here.
Yeah.
You know, and rumored to be and for Pat's favorite thing on the co-main event. So speaking of that, Pat.
What up?
Porter, U God, you like it? How you see it playing out?
I do. I like it a lot because A, it's a fresh matchup, and Ugas has been doing his thing lately. I mean, he hasn't lost since the Emelian fight, like about 4 years ago, give or take, you know. And, you know, he's been hot and cold. I mean, his last fight wasn't really all that to watch, unfortunately. And, I mean, we can blame a couple of things, but I won't rehash why that was. But I think it's a fresh matchup, and it's a hell of a lot better than seeing fucking Porter Berter 2 again. Because niggas don't want to see that shit. Porter already put Berto in the bushes, but someone keeps picking his motherfucking ass out of that shit. So Vargas Glover was going to be the WBC mandatory fight too, but that went to a draw. So that kind of like paved the way towards this. Ugas has the, because he's a big welterweight too now. I think he's probably not even, I think both Porter and Ugas are not long for the welterweight division. So I guess it's gonna be interesting to see Porter try to bully him around. And that's what he's gonna do. That's what he's gonna attempt to do. He's not gonna box this motherfucker. Ugas is gonna try to box him. So I think it will be like a good style contrast because Porter won't let that motherfucker breathe, and Ugas will let his hands go. So I think it will be a good fight. And of course, it's going to be on a pay per view. I don't know why PBC is doing pay per views. I thought,
oh, here he goes.
It's supposed to be on free TV, but it's not just at the podcast for that. So those are my thoughts.
What about you, P?
I'm digging it. Just like what Pat said, it's a fresh matchup. I like Ugas. I think it's a good matchup for him. It's a good matchup for Porter. Something new. I think Ugas is going to bring it. I think Porter will try to, will do what he always does, maul him. And we'll see how Ugas deals with that, his skills. Because Ugas has skills. He was a bronze medalist. You don't win a bronze medal by not having skills. You got to have skills. And he's showing he has skills. So I want to see how his skills match up to Porter's ruggedness. It'll be a good matchup. I like it.
Gotcha. Well, you said you can't have skills to be a bronze medalist. I was waiting for Pat to say something about Wilder. I was waiting on it.
But nah, Mr. Ohio Players Representative News, how you feel about this scrap, man?
Man, if this fight come off, I think it'll be a really good fight to have in the co-main. You got Sean Porter in the co-main event of a pay-per-view. How that sound? That's what I'm talking about. So you got the Ohio powerhouse, Sean Porter. He's fighting you, because the fight would be good because the fact that both of them let their hands go. Yep. Both of them, like, even though Yugas is skilled, at the end of the day, he lets his hands go. And Sean Porter is always fighting. He's every minute of the round that you, every second of the round that you decide that you don't want to fight, that's when Sean Porter comes even, you know what I mean? He goes even harder. You know, so I can see that being a hell of a co-main event to get the crowd excited before Spence versus Garcia main event. I think that would be a good fight. And as far as for Sean Porter, he was already ordered to do the mandatory. So, I mean, you guys is there. He has to fight him. He can't just go straight to Spence anyway. And then as far as you guys, he deserves it. He deserves this fight. He, like Pat said, he hasn't lost since he lost to Imam, like 4 years ago. His other two losses, because he does have three losses. The other two losses, though, were split decision. An 8-rounder and a 10-rounder. Gotcha. 8 straight wins. The dude has earned his way back up here. I mean, he got a reputation in the gym. I've heard from other fighters saying that he has, you know, that he's really skilled. So I like to see how Sean Porter deals with him. I think it's going to be the first couple rounds. It might be a little tough when they get used to the height, the reach. They had the exact same reach, though. So I see them getting it. I don't know how the fight will go. I'll think about it when it gets closer to it. But I like it.
Right, right. And Smoke, Mr. I saw your jab earlier of the this is the easiest unification fight to make.
Well, so let me just say this. Ugas is, he has a good left hook. The thing is, until all this shit is verified, it's hard to go in depth. But Sean Porter, literally, he walked through one of Danny Garcia's charged up, like, super slow left hooks. He got hit by it and kept going forward. Ugas is obviously quicker on his feet because of his background. So it'll be a good fight, especially if Ugas is able to do like a quick half step back and then throw the left hook, because Porter tends to rush in, not behind a jab. He could also, Porter is really strong for 147, so he could land a couple left hooks, like a body shot, then a left hook upstairs, and the fight could be over, although that hasn't happened in a while. All that being said, imagine if we flip-flop the two fights that we've been talking about, and you had Spence versus Porter and Mikey Garcia versus Ugas.
Yeah, that'd be nice. That'd definitely be a nice one. Yeah, that'd be nice to see that.
Hey, Steven Espinoza.
That would be nice, but the problem is, you have to get Mikey to convince to do that, because that's what we're saying he should have did. Instead, Mikey don't want the Ugas no more. He wants Spence. He's doing that.
So I pick up my phone, I go to the Mikey Garcia, double click it, then enter the passcode, because when you in the smoke squad, you need some, you know, you need some passcodes to get to the real phone numbers. I call up Mikey. I'm like, yo, Mikey, fight on the undercard of the pay-per-view for the first time in your life. You get $3 million plus two on the under because I'm Al Heyman or Richard Schaefer. Holla at me. That shit is made in 20 minutes.
Like, what the fuck? If I'm not finished that way.
I said, you give Mikey $5 million to fight Ugas. You give Spence $7 million. You give Porter $6 million to fight each other. Plus, no, or, you know, lower, but you give some back ends on the pay-per-view. You give Ugas whatever, like, you give him the Central American countries' pay-per-view money.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hold on.
Mal, we're talking about boxing, not Ray J songs. Anyway, shit, man. I'm just saying that shit would be fly.
But shit, you know, back to boxing and not behind the scenes of boxing. But all seriousness, though, Wilder and Fury, you know, the other day, the undercard was announced, and yeah, I took a deep sigh. It's going to feature Luis Ortiz and Kaufman, right? Travis Kaufman. Right. John Joyce and
Joe Joyce. Sorry, Joe. And, listen to this.
Sorry.
It's the fade out. We're sorry. We apologize. Joe, we faded.
Right. And also, doesn't it, and correct me if I'm wrong, won't it feature the return of Swift, Mr. Jared Swift Hurd, too, as well?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, there we go, man. And yeah, I just want to get y'all general thoughts on it. I know we may not like the opponents, but we kind of understand how the things go. But you know, man, this is a review.
Man, listen. First of all, like, you know, and this is, and I've talked about this before. Like, this pay-per-view should be a showcase for the inactive PBC fighters, especially the ones. I mean, they get together and they get drunk on camera, but you tell me you can't put one of them on the card to fight? You know what I'm saying? And, you know, and it's like, Wilder and Fury is not guaranteed action because there's no such thing as an entertaining Fury fight. If you think Fury is entertaining, then you need to, you know, you need to go find Jesus or something.
They're about to get KO'd.
Yeah, but that's why it's like the undercard should have been lit. Now, it should have been, you know, Gary Russ, the featherweight kingpin, and LSC. They should have been fighting on there, but instead, you know, we're getting Hurd coming back from the shoulder injury. I like Hurd, but, you know, if you want to give him a soft touch, you can put him on a different show or whatever. Not on pay-per-view fighting a British can. Because that's what he's facing, and Luis Ortiz has enough damn showcases. He doesn't need another one, especially not on pay per view. Joe Joyce is exempt because he is a new cat on the scene, and you know, and he will benefit from his exposure. So I have no problem with him being on this card. But it's sad though that the best fight of the night is in Montreal, and that's going to be the fight before the pay per view with Superman and Boston.
Hey Pat,
it's garbage. The other card is dumpster fire.
Yo, Pat.
So what's a justifiable price for this pay-per-view then?
Hey, who the fuck? I wouldn't even pay. I don't even want to stream this bullshit. You're talking about paying.
I got a question. So on September 15th, there was a pay-per-view fight between Canelo and Triple G, Part 2. Jaime Munguia fought Brandon Cooks, I think.
The wide receiver.
Lemieux fought Spike O'Sullivan.
Shout out.
And Chocolatito fought Moises Fuentes, correct? So what's the difference between that undercard and this undercard?
Go ahead, Pat. See, I can answer that for him.
Let's see. Number one, Sullivan and Lemieux are actually ranked contenders in their own division. That's what I'm thinking. Now, let's take a look at Luis Ortiz and Kaufman. Are they even... Kaufman, I'm sure, is not in the top 10 of any fucking ratings. Hurd and Wellborn... I mean, he might be in the lower half of the 50 because you have to have a top 15 rating, you know, in order to fight for the title. You know, I don't think that really applies to the September 15th card at all.
Why?
Excuse me?
Hold on, wait. Before we go to y'all two, news, what's your thoughts on the card? Because y'all about to get into it.
Right. No. I just look at it like, first of all, Swift is back, right?
Which we all are glad for that.
We definitely happy to see him back. You know, he's going to have an exciting fight, get his opponent, try to definitely get his opponent out of there. Maybe with a triple left hook again. You know, he'd like to throw those. Luis Ortiz, you know, speed and power. He's going to try to knock Travis Kaufman out, get him up out of there. Right. He's going to succeed. Joe Joyce versus Joe Hanks. As far as we hear about Joe Joyce, it should be a fight. It should be a fight that ends in knockout, right? It starts from here, right? And then, hold on, because I'm taking y'all with me. So the main event should end in knockout. So when has it become a problem where we have a pay-per-view card where you have the opening card, this is going to end in the KO. Second fight, we expect to end in the KO.
The third fight,
co-main, KO. The main event, KO, and we're disappointed. I thought, so are we using fighters' names recognition now? Because now the matchups matter? Now the names matter? Or is it about the actual fights? Because sometimes people say, oh, well, it doesn't matter about the names. All I care about is as long as this is good action, it delivers. But we see names on paper and we say, oh, I don't like it. It's a horrible card. We ain't seen them throw one punch. We know just looking at that card, this is a night of knockouts. How can anybody watch a pay-per-view card where we've seen garbage pay-per-view cards put us to sleep before the main event? We paid money and we slept through halfway through the main event of the pay-per-view.
Are you saying more so it's Pat? What do you want for undercard?
Showtime did this correctly with Mayweather and Berto, because Mayweather and Berto was a trash main event. It was a trash fight. It was a trash fight on paper. Undercard, however, was probably one of the best I've ever seen from Showtime in recent years.
So that, that
is their template. I don't know why they won't follow that template. I mean, even the fucking preview with fucking Veins and Ishae Smith was better than that goddamn main event.
I think the card is fine, man. I think it's gonna be fine, man. If you turn into a heavyweight fight and it's Deontay Wilder, me personally, I don't know about y'all, but up until last year, I've thrown a fight party for like the last 8-9 years in a row. Every Cinco de Mayo, Mexican Independence Day, of course. People ain't trying to see all this. They don't care about the people that come over, the casuals that we call the casuals. They're the pay-per-view buyers. They're not trying to see. They don't care who these names
are. They don't want
to
see. You know, you're right.
I'll put it like this. They didn't care about Chocolatito. What they cared about is how Chocolatito fought. They don't know. So them, you telling me a fight where it's a bunch of casual and there's nothing but knockouts, same people that watch UFC fights? And all they're looking for is a knockout. If this is a heavyweight card with Deontay Wilder in it. Now, if it's Floyd, then yeah, I want to see skilled fighters. If it's a Mexican fighters, we want to see Mexican fighters on the card. This is a Deontay Wilder card. That man got knocked. He knocked out everybody he ever faced. I want to see knockouts on this card. I want to see everybody going to sleep. That's what I want to see. It would be nice to have a fighter, but it's like who would we have? Who would be these fights? I know Pat had brought up Gary Russell Jr. versus Leo Santa Cruz. Well, that couldn't have never happened. You know why? Because Gary Russell already fought this year. He already got his one.
Because he's now LC likes to fight his sparring partners.
I mean, it's not even about Leo Santa Cruz. It's the fact that Gary Russell doesn't fight. He fought once, so that would never happen. Leo Santa Cruz could have fought somebody, but why would you have a Leo Santa Cruz on a Deontay Wilder card? Deontay Little Santa Cruz may not knock his opponent out.
I don't know. I mean, he was on the main with a Pacquiao card. I'm sure he can fight on a
Mayweather Pacquiao because Mayweather's a technical fighter. He's going to go 12 rounds. Leo Santa Cruz is most likely going to go 12. Leo Santa Cruz is not he doesn't get people up out of there. Deontay Wilder gets you up out of there. I want to see if I'm going to Deontay. Me personally, I went to Deontay Wilder fight. When I went to Deontay Wilder fight, I liked what I seen. I want to see that again. The atmosphere, that dark atmosphere that was there when he fought Luis Ortiz, when we knew it was going to be a knockout. If I had that from the first fight of the pay-per-view card, Come on, man. I know every fight is going to be a hell of a card to see.
And I'll say this, as seeing as I saw Ortiz at Staples Center earlier this year.
They love Ortiz.
When he delivers that second to fourth round knockout, those motherfuckers are going to go crazy because they love Luis Ortiz there.
And I've also seen Luis Ortiz fight. I mean, because he was the main event.
You can hear the punches, quote Pat Scorpio.
Well, right. he wasn't failing to get rid of Tony Thompson quickly. The crowd was getting impatient. Like as soon as he dropped him, the crowd was starting to leave. But every time Tony got up, it wasn't a loud reaction. Like they knew, like the motherfucker was punching loud as fuck. But niggas was trying to get up out of there because he wasn't putting Tony away fast enough. That's my actual experience with watching Luis Ortiz fight live.
Well,
it wasn't like y'all two. It was a little different.
I got y'all, but shoot, hey, we got a few minutes before we wrap it up. But the last topic definitely want to touch on is the WBSS scraps that's going on this weekend with Burnett and Donaire, and also Taylor versus Martin. Mm-hmm. P, you got any thoughts on this? Have you been able to kind of analyze it? And see how you think this might go this upcoming Saturday.
Okay. So for the first one with Burnett versus Donaire, honestly, I'm kind of tired of seeing Donaire on the TV because he's beyond that, in my opinion. It's not prime Donaire. This is prime Donaire. I'd love to see him, but nowadays, I'll watch him, but. I think that Burnett right now should take care of Donaire. I don't think there's much left in the tank for Nonito. He had a great career, but I think he's going to take another L. But the one that does, the fight that actually, the dude that does have me a little bit excited for a little bit is Taylor versus Martin. So that's an intriguing because I like Taylor. I think he has skills. And he's shown before he has skills. But Martin is tough. And Martin is big and has power. So how is Taylor going to react if he gets hit with one of those Martin bombs? That's an intriguing fight. I actually will be definitely tuned into that
one. Shit, and how about you, Smoke?
I mean, I'll be honest with you. You should give it to the next person because I'm thinking about these and I'm like, well, I know that they're on the zone and that's about it right now.
The fade hour. Man. We honest on this motherfucker. We ain't about to sit here and be on right. some give a whole breakdown of somebody.
Let me say this to the World Boxing Supers. Nah. To the people who are organizing the fights in the United States, step your game up. We have Regis Progress, Rising Star in the United States. Y'all put 4,000 people in the stands for him at home? I ain't gonna say much else besides that, but get your game together.
If there's one big flaw that the World Boxing Super Series has is how it handles its U.S. cards. Like, it wasn't not just with this season, but last season, too. Like, I mean, I don't know what it is. Saul Lind and all of them, like, I don't think they market the shit properly. Because we've all watched what they look like overseas and all, like, big fucking events, especially in fucking Japan. You know, and see all that shit. Like, it's everything, everyone's packed and all shit, this type of energy. With the U.S., it's like, unless it's like word of mouth or whatever, or you really follow the shit, it doesn't get the attention it deserves. And sometimes them shits have some fades on it, like, you know, or some serious slugfest. And and that's why I agree with Smoke on, regardless of that. Like, something needs to change with how it's marketed, or they need to get like an American representative or whatever to handle all that shit. But in terms of the fights coming up, I mean, Donaire is 35, and because there's no old men in these divisions, and he's going down in weight. So, and he didn't look good against Carl Frampton, who I don't.
God, he looked bad.
You know, but yeah, I think, I mean, if he's going down, it probably increases the probability he may get KO'd. And Burnett is not a puncher; he only has like 9 to 10 KOs. You know, so, but you go down in weight like that in your old age, you know, something will go. So yeah, I mean, I hope I'm wrong because I want Donaire to at least have a one last stand, but I don't think.
He won't.
Yeah, I know. I'd like to see it, but I don't think it's going to happen. Now with Josh Taylor and Martin, that fight, like, I mean, you have two high level prospects in a tournament like this. Like, that's intriguing to me too. Like, I think
I like Taylor.
Yeah, I think Taylor learned a lot from the Pistol fight. I think
Before that,
I wasn't really sure on him, but he showed a lot of grit in the Pistol
fight. Oh, it's that dude.
Huh? Yeah, that was him. Yeah, that's him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, because I think he got the lesson that he needed to take it to the next level. And Martin does not have that fight yet. So I think this will probably be quote unquote Martin's type of fight. So I think it's gonna be a close competitive fight, but I do think that Taylor will probably win this on a close decision.
Because when I look here, it looked like Ryan Martin, his most recent fight was against Prescott. And May 5th, and when he won in 8 rounds, unanimous decision, 8 rounds, that looked like his best opponent to date. So
yeah, but the thing is, everyone beats Prescott except Amir Khan. You know what I'm saying?
Oh shit!
It's true.
That's true, man. Go ahead, news.
Man, you can tell Maul Fady can't even remember who I am now, man.
I'm about to call you Smoke about 3 different times. I was like, God damn it, this key is not Smoke.
So I'm going with Donaire. I'm going with the experience. I know Donaire having, like you said, that he's dropping weight, but also at the same time, Donaire going back down in weight to that weight class. Has Burnett fought a fighter as good as Donaire?
No.
Yet?
No.
Like, have we seen him against an opponent? So I'm going with them. So when I pick Donaire, I'm going with the experience. I'm going with the fact that I'm thinking his power is, we know his power is going to carry there. It's just about, can he get off against Burnett? And I'm just thinking that the Filipino Flash may just have one more left in him, man. Like, at the end of the day, when fighters start chasing that championship, that one last time, that one last taste of glory, sometimes they get it. And this dude is really chasing it. He's dropping weight.
Yeah.
Class division, like, you know how people usually move down in weight?
Mm-hmm.
Move up in weight? This dude isn't, like, he's moving up in weight. Is he a super, is he a featherweight? Is he a bantamweight? Is he a super bantamweight? It's like, we don't know what he is anymore. He's trying to get that belt, you know? 126, 122, 118.
Yeah, because the Burnett's best win is against the guy who beat Warren, who's trained by Ricky Hatton.
That dude.
Yeah, I can't even pronounce his name. You know what I'm talking about. I just can't pronounce his name.
Yeah, I just call him Double Z.
Double Z. There you go.
But we have to see. Out of the sea, I'm gonna go with Donaire with that because, like I said, Burnett, he's nice. He's definitely skilled. But I'm just gonna go with Donaire because of the championship experience, the power. Yeah, and just one more run. Like, it's the Filipino Flash, man. He's a Hall of Famer. I'm gonna go with him. Another one though. The other fight, Josh Taylor, Ryan Martin. Yeah, Ryan Martin is definitely very skilled. Josh Taylor looked very skilled, extremely skilled versus O'Hara Davies, but then we see that O'Hara Davies were nothing but smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
So, you know, that took a lot of luster off of that win to me. After, you know, because, you know,
I heard that.
Yeah, it just took some luster off that win to me. I mean, Josh Taylor, of course, really skilled, extremely skilled though, huge size. So, I don't know. Ryan Martin's been talking that talk, you know, the blue chipper.
Were you able to catch that Taylor and Postal fight?
Huh? The Taylor and Postal fight?
I did, but
y'all know it's the fade out. And like I said, I got the Girl Scout cookies in me. I can't even remember it right now.
Wait, News. You didn't even say like he's an Ohio player, because you know Martin's from Cleveland, son.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Clearly, you don't give a fuck that much.
No, I do.
Hold on, wait a minute.
Of course I would, but the thing is, normally when I say it, y'all had me do it the last couple times. You see what happened?
I cut my dog off. He was getting out.
So now we got to wait to after the fight to give him the props. Because just like I told you, Pat, that's why I don't shout them out before the fight. Because you see what happened.
Right? Evans, right?
When I said, if I say something about him, what's going to happen is something's going to happen. That's why I got to wait till it's over.
He's going to get knocked out in 48 seconds.
Like, I shout him out. I give him his props. I bring him up on two podcasts back to back. It was a real live watch party for the fight downtown. Ooh. If anybody's ever been to Cleveland, a lot of people haven't, but if you have, you have West 6th, you have East 4th, you have on the flats, you have West 25th, typically where you want to go party. West 6th is the number one spot that you want to go party. That's up unless you're going down to the flats. He was on West 6th. The fight party was on West 6th. At the Velvet Dog, a real nice nightclub. And I didn't go. I did not go to that fight because, like I said, I do not trust it when I do that. I didn't go. I see the fight. The fight's over in the first round, man. I can't do it. But Ryan Martin, from a place I should not mention until after the fight, we rooting for you. You know what I'm saying? You got to bring it home, man. Ohio players in the building, but Josh Taylor's nice, man. So it's like, it's hard to pick. It's really hard to pick. Ryan Martin is nice, but I don't know that I'm still torn because I seen the Josh Taylor fight versus Postal. We seen what he did to Postal,
and the winner of this fight will be fighting Baranchik, the Beast Baranchik, who got a hell of a stoppage. Stoppage.
Is this young Ryan Martin? The black dude,
right?
Shit, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
No, he nice.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I can't hard to pick for that.
He's
one
fast.
Yeah, he is, and he's really skillful too. And like I said, the Victor Postal fight was really good for Josh Taylor, but I don't know, man. I don't know. I haven't seen Ryan Martin versus Victor Postal.
Hold on. And speaking of this, of the super lightweight bracket, just throw this little extra credit in. Were y'all able to catch the Regis fight?
Yeah.
Yep.
He whooped that boy's ass. You know, there's no question about that. Flanagan got the beating of his life. I was kind of disappointed, though, he didn't get that stoppage because I thought he was on his way. But Prograis showed levels to his. I mean, he wasn't going in there, you know, kind of walk down and like, you know, pound him out, pause. You know, he boxed that man like, and he bloodied him, he beat him senseless. So I dug how he won. Even if it went to distance.
I thought after the first knockdown or the temple knockdown, it was over. But Flanagan was able to stay up.
He whipped that boy ass. he was on his hustle and flow shit on some Terrence Howard. He could whoop that.
Shout out to Regis, man. He got your boy Relic in there. Oh, Newsy, you caught it? Were you able to catch it?
Man, it wasn't nothing to catch except for that punch that he ended on. Flanagan, listen, man. I would like to put it on record that I said a couple years ago that Regis was gonna be that dude, and people didn't believe me because I said it early, because I used to. I didn't think that him versus AB was a good fight for AB. I used to say that a couple years ago.
You did say
that. I didn't like
that was Regis, after the JoJo Diaz fight.
The dude is a beast. I mean, can Regis be beat?
Mikey should have fought him.
I don't think anybody at 140 beats that dude.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to see that right now. Like,
I mean, Ramirez doesn't want no smoke in him. That's for damn sure.
Backpedal.
I remember a couple months ago, Jose Ramirez responded to a post that was made saying that he wasn't gonna avoid Regis at all. So I don't know what he's doing, but that fight needs to happen. Regis is a beast at 140.
Nah, news, we on a fade hour. Just say my man just saying that he, you know.
I mean, because they give
all types
of stories, man. Because they be giving all types of stories. One minute they talking about the money. One thing at the end of the day, they both young. They both young fighters. They both in the Regis could go through the whole 140 tournament, and we just see what he do. He don't even need Jose Ramirez, really, in my opinion. No, I really don't need to see that fight.
He need that belt though.
Pause.
he needs a belt. I think he needs a belt. I mean, Terrence Crawford is showing you can be the man with the WBO alone.
Well, so here's my thing with respect to that. Ramirez is his boss, is many people, but one of them, actually the top one, is Bob Arum. And Bob Arum don't typically let you do what you want to do unless money's guaranteed.
And that's fine. I understand that. But at the same time, don't puff out your chest and stay the funk and try to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't disagree with you. It would be a fade, too. That's the thing.
But, listen, y'all. This is episode 12 of the Fade Hour. Before we sign off, I just want to throw around the table, see if y'all had any, you know, last thoughts. Like I said, we didn't even get the Jacobs and Derevyanchenko, you know, him being crowned, or just any general news or sports or whatever life thing y'all just want to throw out there before we wrap up this cast, man.
Yeah, I wanted to shout out to if y'all didn't know, I'm a shout out Team Left Jab. So y'all know Ringside Rave, the Fade Hour. Y'all can catch us on Podomatic, iTunes, of course on YouTube. Probably listening to us or watching us right now. But now we're on. We've linked up with Team Left Jab. You can follow them on Twitter with their United Radio Network, so you can hear us there too. And they're going to have us on a couple other channels and such. We'll have more information on that. Over the next couple shows, where we can give you more details. Like, this literally just happened today. Like, this, the first cast is going up on there. So we'll get more information to y'all on that. But I just wanted to start off with that before the fellas go around the table. Wanted to let the Ravers know what's going on.
I wanted to just say what's good to two of my young hitters on IG, my boy Jason and my boy T-Rail. One from Alberta, one from Minnesota. They're young bulls getting it in when it comes to that boxing shit. So props to them for doing their thing. And also, when you see the bird, whether it be on Instagram or Twitter, or don't take that content. Just come up with something yourself. Don't take from the bird. Join with the bird. Join the flock. Don't take from
me. Right.
Holla, it's your boy Smoke. At Free Smoke Boxing 1.
Yeah, I mean, you know how to find me. Like I said, you know, you type in P, A, and then the rest will just follow, like awesome autofill shit. But on some real shit, though, you can also catch me on the Ringing Radio account. I mean, you know, a lot of my stuff is on there, my content and everything like that on there. And then, of course, you know, Pat Scorpio, that's the other IG. You know, Bigger Pat on Twitter, you know what I'm saying? I do engage, you know, come correct. I don't block because that's not the way I do. I'll handle you right there and there, pause, and keep it moving. So, yeah, I mean, that's how you can reach me.
It's your boy P. Follow me at Bodega Boxing on Instagram and Twitter.
All the fighters that King P met at the Charlo press conference, smooth shout out, you know what I'm saying? I showed them love. Word up.
Yo, one thing that P didn't say is that we want to give a solid shout out to Amanda Serrano. What up?
Absolutely.
Just
hey, Miss Serrano.
Just,
I like Boston, Toronto.
A hardcore shout out from Bodega Boxing, Ringside Rave, Big Up Pat, Bruising Boxing, Free Smoke Boxing. What up?
Yeah, shout out. Y'all been showing me love.
You know, giving me
love, you've been showing me that. So I always appreciate that.
We love
all
you,
right.
Amanda.
Oh, shut up.
All up, man. Shit. As the host, man, it's your man Maul at Bruising Boxing. My thoughts is fuck the Eagles.
Fuck you, buddy.
You know what I'm saying? Y'all let us beat up competitive game this past Sunday. You know what I'm saying? My Jags was out at the bar of the game before, leaving $65,000 tabs open. They didn't want to pay the shit. That's how us in Duval do. But you know what I'm saying? Anybody that got a backup quarterback, please send them to Jacksonville through the waiver wire or whatever. We need it. We need that help.
We can send you our MVP, Super Bowl MVP quarterback. Y'all need it.
You know what I'm saying? We just handed the Rams Dante Fowler for a third and the fifth, so you know we just going through some shit, you know what I'm saying? The glass fill it's over with, man. Glad we got the bye week. We get Fournette back, hopefully that'll help the run game, and that's it. I don't even want to talk box. I'm just pissed about the Jags, man.
Come on bro, you traded him to the fucking Rams.
Right, bro. We weren't going to resign him, so we just give up something and get something back for him. But, you know, our division still, well, I would say our division bad, but baby, you know, Demarius now with Houston on the opposite side of Hopkins. So that's another help. That's another option for your boy Watson. So shit. So we can't backdoor our way into the playoffs this year. So,
hey. Before we sign out, happy Halloween to all y'all motherfuckers who dress up and shit.
Word, you know, happy Halloween, you know what I'm saying? Like, make sure you give out the good candy to the kids. You know, don't give them that bullshit, no popcorn balls, you know, none of that caramel that sticks to their feelings and rips them out, you know.
No candy corn.
No fruits, because, you know, people be poisoning fruit with putting raisins in them shits. It happened in the 80s and 90s. It still happens today. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, someone cut Pat's mic.
But yeah, man. Again, if news is still there, he always telling me to sign off, but nah, he know I always let him sign off. Man, I'm going to pass the news. Go ahead and wrap up this Fade Hour episode 12.
Okay. No problem, man. Yeah, so I'd like to thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of the Fade Hour, showing us love and support. Again, this is your boy News, representing Ringside Rave all day. Find us on Twitter. Find us on Instagram. You can find us on YouTube, all at Ringside Rave, Podomatic, iTunes. Now you're going to be able to find us on Team Left Jabs United Radio Network. Like I said, I'm going to give you that information next couple of days. So just keep messing with us, man. Keep messing with the bird. We're going to keep flying high.
Call.
Peace.
Thank you guys for listening to Ringside Rave. We appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time. Peace.